Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I guess I could easily go down the path of just asking how that old train wreck in D.C. is going now that everybody has moved off of the problem du jour and looking at the maybe the bigger picture. But I'm not sure if, you know, if you're really that captivated. But bottom line, what we have has been a long string of usurpations of power that has created so many direct impacts upon our lives and liberty, from the EPA, the Department of Interior, with BLM, with healthcare. All of these things that are happening that you're witnessing in the news are all the result of unconstitutional government. That is the train wreck that is just continuing to occur. And the metaphor or the imagery I'm trying to portray for you is if you had this huge train station, and in every single degree of a 360-degree clock, you've got a train, you know, just bearing into this train station full speed with no brakes, and every single track is occupied, and they're all coming into the train station at the same time. It is mayhem. It is bad. And as most people, you know, just they can't pull away. It's just like the rubberneckers on the old highway when they have to look at who's hurt, what happened. People just can't stop but watch the carnage and the wreckage and so forth. And so are you really that captivated by the wake of the damage? And I say that in the wake of Michael. And I'll get to that a little bit later on. As a matter of fact, it's not one of those Films at 11 thing. It'll be right after I get through my first diatribe that I always go through, such as this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org and RepublicReview.org. I also have to give you the obligatory fact that you are listening to the only show that provides the constitutional solutions to fixing government overreach as far as the federal government. And we actually talk about how to get the states back into concert with the Republican form of government and the constitutional requirements of how states are supposed to behave as well. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. And so there's one other little thing that I've got to do, and it's if you want to help, you're more than welcome. There is plenty of room at the table. Every state has plenty of room. And so if you have a computer, you've got a phone, you can get involved. You can help. And there's many ways you can do this, most of all of which really doesn't cost you anything other than the time and maybe, you know, your phone use, or if you, hopefully you don't have one of those phones that you pay by the minute. And same thing with your computer or internet access. I get it that in some places that are really remote out in these red states, they can get you over the barrel and throttle you, because bottom line, you just don't have the same kind of infrastructure and services. But anyway, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Or you can join the Constitution Club. Believe you me, that is a great way of getting involved as well. And that way you can become a part of the solution and no longer just an eyewitness to the wreckage of the problem, because that's all we're witnessing. That's all we see in the news and everything else. All of these artifacts are literally byproducts from unconstitutional government. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I do truly appreciate it. I try to make mention of that. And so I've kind of made a highlight to make sure I mention it each day. But if I happen to forget some days, do not think that I'm trying to marginalize your importance of, you know, how the show has been growing. So thank you so much. there is no sign in the news that the federal government will be disbanding or getting rid of any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so I just want you to know that if we're going to get our federal government back into compliance, we have to get them to comply to the Constitution by getting the states to demand this. We have to step up. We have to actually take the state by the reins and get them to act on our behalfs, because bottom line, they are the ones with the power in doing this. So with that, let me kind of hopefully get into, you know, some of these other things that I want to get into, because with the wake of Michael and the devastation, the damage that has come, I want you to know that my heart goes out to them. I do not want to sound insensitive, but at the risk of being insensitive, I think there is a need to constantly point this out. There is no constitutional grounding. There is no constitutional substantiation for FEMA or for the federal government to utilize the public purse in bailing out any types of localities from any type of natural disaster. I think it's great, it's nice, but it's unconstitutional, and they're violating the supreme law of the land in doing so. And what they're doing is they're basically hawking our future and our posterity's future in constantly spending money on unconstitutional things. This has to end. And I don't want to say that, you know, Michael is the, you know, okay, there's Michael the angel, right, who basically kicked Satan out. And I don't want to necessarily put the correlation there. But I will tell you that we need to start recognizing the real facts that the Constitution only enables the federal government to do certain things. If we're going to have compassionate services, then we have to start relying upon those true organizations that are designed to provide compassionate services. And those are churches and local communities and so forth. And I believe America can be very compassionate, but I think America can also be very pragmatic. And bottom line, the message should be, if you live in the earthquake-tattered areas of the world, if you live along the coast that happens to have a high propensity of hurricanes, or if you live in an area where there is a great possibility that you will have a tornado or two, any type of high-risk area that you know you're living in that suspected area, then you either have to account and prepare yourself for that, or the consequences are you lose everything. Right? I mean, when somebody goes all in, you know, they put all their money on the crap table and literally put it all on 21 black or what have you, whatever the risk is, and they lose all their money, do they have any position? Do they have any merit in standing and saying, hey, you've got to bail me out? This isn't fair. Those are the risks. We have to start acknowledging that the insurance companies will not cover you for those types of damages. No, they'll cover you for, you know, a falling tree, as long as that falling tree's cause wasn't from a hurricane or a tornado, right? We have to start really looking, because I'm telling you, the devastation, they're only going to get more and more expensive, because the cost of materials, the cost of labor and so forth is just skyrocketing. And that has more to do with the manipulation of the commodities, as well as the manipulation of labor and how the unions have been able to get away with, you know, hiking up, you know, building salaries and so forth. So I think it's time that we actually put the big boy and big girl britches on and actually have that adult conversation and say, what are we going to do about this? What are these states going to do? Well, maybe Florida and maybe those Gulf Coast states ought to have building standards to say you've got to be able to sustain at least a Category 4 hurricane, or we're not going to help you out. They've got to start putting some standards. It's the same thing with, you know, if you're living right there on the San Andreas Fault you better have a home that can withstand that, or nobody's going to bail you out. And so as rough as I may be speaking, my heart really goes out to those that are really suffering, that have lost so much and so forth. But we cannot look at this without having the broadened vision of the fact of, you know, there are costs of living in places like that. Just like the cost of paradise is not cheap. The risks of living there is not an easy thing to swallow. But the reality is, I do not think it's fair that we continually leverage America's future by trying to be, you know, we'll bail everybody out. Corporations have no business being bailed out. And unfortunately, my friends, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but individuals have no business being bailed out by their federal government. And I would ask that everybody that has any inkling to think that I am being cold-hearted, I ask that you read Madison's debate. I believe it was with, I want to say it was Livingston, but I know it's not. Livingston was in a different debate, but the debate on the cod fishery bounties of 1792, go read that. He clearly states that the federal government's role in the general welfare has nothing to do with using the public purse for taking care of anything like that. That is literally left to what I will say, the churches and local communities, because they are the best suited for that. And all you do when you get government involved is you get corruption entrenched into these processes and spending and so forth. And so with that hard break, we will be right back. And I will actually be diving into Republic Review and all of the details that I didn't get into yesterday. So you're going to love it today. God bless. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so part of that dialogue, because I'm hoping that everybody that was tuned in can forgive me for being so brass. And so the fact is, somebody's got to speak the relevance to what government should be doing and what government shouldn't be doing. And as nice as it is to have a big brother, maybe that should be the state. Maybe that should be the county. Maybe that's why we should be thrifty with our money instead of spending in trying to create indolence and safety nets, welfare programs, and so forth. Our goal as a society should be that every capable body be a contributor to society and being productive. When you actually start rewarding people, as I have been saying over the years, how we have been literally creating a society of indolence and an entitlement, that if our goal is not to ensure that everybody can contribute and have some way, it's not about socialism, communism, and everybody getting a living wage. Sorry, there has to be incentives in climbing the ladder. If you're happy with the level you are on the ladder of being a tradesman or whatever it is you're doing, then that's fine. Nobody should be compelling you to climb that ladder higher. But bottom line, if you're bagging groceries at a grocery store, you don't deserve to have a mansion in Beverly Hills. You need to climb the ladder if you want to live in that rent district, period. And so there are realities to the life that we live. And I only ask that we start having those real conversations and actually start forcing, you know, this dialogue so that the left and the progressives can, if they can, try to defend their positions, because I'm telling you, there is no way they can defend their position. There is nothing greater to the human spirit than actually accomplishing something for oneself. I can remember the first time when I was a kid, when I created something, the fact that I did that, and that was my creation. Now, as I look at it today, it was, you know, pretty junky. It wasn't the best quality, but I did it. And as I got better and better and better, I could have made a profession out of paper mache things. But there's not a lot of demand for people to, you know, garnish and decorate their home with paper mache things. So bottom line, I had to figure out something else to do. And we all have to do that. And if our society's goal isn't to ensure that everybody be self-sufficient, that when somebody, you know, befalls upon hard times or what have you, for whatever reason, yeah, we should try to help them. But if they just want to sit and collect, then sorry, you're just going to have to go to a different country. There are countries that believe in providing for you. They're not this one. This one believes in helping those who are willing to help themselves stand up on their own two feet and actually make something out of their lives, one way or the other. And so here we go. I also want to get into something, because I've actually been kind of talking about this a bit, and we've actually brought this up on my show a couple of times. As a matter of fact, June 7th, 2017, the 21st of February this year are, you know, two points in time where I actually talked on the radio waves as far as talking about Utah, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Virginia, very specifically about, you know, repealing, and not even repealing, rescinding the 17th Amendment, that there is an academic argument that states can go down this path. Bottom line, this all kind of started, and what I want to say is that with Keith Broders, when I started talking to him about this, and actually it goes back to when I was talking to Douglas Gibbs about this, it's been a lot of talk, but what I have done now is I've actually sat down and I've kind of written a compendious summation of this argument. And so I'm looking to hopefully get this published so that this article can be out on the Constitution Club, as well as the Moby Strip Press and some other sites and other things. But the fact of the matter is that this really needs to, I think, become a battle cry as a part of the stratagem in getting Republic Review moving, because I believe in symbiosis. I believe in literally working together. You know, I remember telling a lot of the people that I hired as employees, as they, you know, they were absolutely blown away that I was promoting people, you know, out and above me. And they're going, well, you know, why are you doing this? You know, I mean, they're just not used to that. And I go, well, I believe that you recognize, you know, this is leadership, and I believe you are a good leader and you recognize where leaders can fit. And I believe that down the road, if there's, you know, a possibility or a position that I might be a better leader for, you will follow the same example and you can, you know, identify me for that other position. but we have to be, you know, helping each other climb the cliff. Because if we're not, if we're only going up for ourselves, then we're only going to get so high up. But when you function as a team, you can actually scale that cliff and you can command that cliff as a team. It's very hard to do it all by yourself. And so, you know, that kind of goes in like in tune with this whole idea of, you know, being indolent and or working and being self-sufficient. When you start working with others, as long as what you're doing is legitimate, legal, and everything else, then I don't think anybody will come after you or besmirch you for the fact that, hey, you know, where do you get off getting ahead of everybody and living this kind of lifestyle? Actually, I think you get, you know, recognized and, you know, you get lauded for those types of things. But anyway, I actually sat down and I wrote this. I've got to get this out because hopefully this will be sent to Senator Mike Lee this weekend and he'll be hopefully digesting this. So once I get this all done and wrapped up, I'll send this out for other people's inputs and so forth. But, you know, once you launch it, you've kind of got to let it go because, you know, it is what it is because it's more about the message. One of the things I learned about the intelligence community, intelligence has no value if it is not timely. A lot of times people can overlook, you know, the little errors or the little mistakes as long as they receive the information in a timely manner. As long as it's not really negligent or grossly erred with all sorts of problems, then I believe that people will look at that level of intelligence and be able to utilize it for the good purposes that it needs to be used for. So anyway, I wanted to get that out there because this article or this publication will be available if you want to check it out. And like I said, we'll put it out in a few different mediums. I also wanted to kind of talk about, and you know, this is a part of that train wreck, but this is another sympathetic eye that I have taken. And I remember, because I was in the Pentagon during Reagan's era, and I remember being able to walk around D.C., not even feeling threatened, never hearing gunshots or anything else. It just went to the dogs when the Clintons took over D.C. I can't tell you how bad crime just shot through the roof. And the tone of the nation's capital just really went rancid. And so I remember thinking back of how Nancy Reagan used to get disdain and visceral hate from the progressive left media. And now I realize, and I'm looking, you know, at, because there's an article today about Melania Trump, you know, and how she's just being bullied all the time by the left. And she absolutely is. This is absolutely, it's on steroids. This is so uncalled for. And they have, like I've told you, the left has no regard. They do not care if they destroy you. The means justify, or the ends justify the means. That's what I need to say. The ends justify the means. In other words, they don't care as long as it meets their needs and their ends. So bottom line, I think that what we have to do, and we have to put this in perspective in moving forward, I honestly think that people need to start chanting and demanding that Michelle Obama be investigated. Remember, there's that allegation out there that she's not really a woman. I think that if you go out and you Google this and Michelle Obama is not a woman and that the Obama kids weren't there, there's an allegation out there. How come that has not grown legs? I mean, obviously, these sexual allegations against all these men have kind of grown legs and so many of them have been proven to be false. Well, let's find out if that's false. There's no doubt in my mind, though, that Hillary needs to be fully investigated. There is no doubt that she is culpable and she should be tried for her mishandling of classified information. There's enough evidence to prove that she had a pay-to-play scheme with using her foundation and her position as the Secretary of State. And there is no doubt, there is plenty of evidence of her attack mode on women who spoke out against Predator Bill one after another. We've got plenty of things to literally investigate Hillary on. Why are we not doing this? And this is really my trouble with Trump. I mean, everybody has these really nice things, but there should be indictments by now. And the problem may be, I'd love to have him come out in public and say, you know, I'm trying to get, the Department of Justice and FBI to really, take on these issues of going after these evil people. But the deep state is so deep and they're so entrenched that I can't get them to act. I would believe that if he would bring that to the American people. I would love to see him actually just literally close all of this stuff down. But we have to start ending this double standard of attacking the right and giving the left the pass. I will say this, that if you understand what is at stake here, the left has, and if you understand the history behind this as well, and if you don't, you need to understand this. They are never, never going to give up ground. We have to start taking ground back, period. If we want to get back to that, and the best way of taking ground back is literally taking the Constitution by using the academic argument and auditing the Constitution. That's why I'm going through that, and we will get through that when we get back after this break. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Well, so let me finish my one thought. If Trump really wants to drain the swamp, if he really wants to lock her up, go after what have you, all of these evil people and so forth, then what he should do is he should literally come right out and make a plea to the states and to the people. If he wants to actually really make America great again, then he should call upon the states and the people within each of these states to audit the Constitution. If he does that, he will be the leader, just like a George Washington, that actually helps us root out the evil and the enemy that has entrenched itself within our government, period. I mean, that would be the paradigm shift. It would be the game changer. One more, or actually two more things, but before I get into the sentimental part or the personal part, I'm not sure if you noticed that there was in the news the past couple of days that they're going to give Social Security a pay raise. I think it was like almost 3% of a pay raise. Well, not sure if $30 for every thousand is a lot of money, but I know that people that are on a fixed income on that unconstitutional Social Security is, that's something, especially those who are totally reliant upon it. That is really a lot. But the fact is that it hasn't been really touched. And the way they disassociated the cost of living to how they affect the pay raise on Social Security, it's just an abysmal thing, and it is creating a problem. That's how old people end up losing their homes, elderly, whatever you want to call it, retirees, whatever. They end up losing their home because taxes every year go up. And if taxes go up 1% a year, Social Security has to go up 1% a year. And I will also say this, I've been retired from the Marine Corps for 20 years, and I have not seen any tangible increase in my retirement pay over the course of those 20 years. That means the Clintons, Bushes, as well as Obamas did nothing to increase, and I've been blessed. I can honestly say that I've never had to look at my military retirement pay and say, wow, how am I going to make this month? How am I going to make my bills and pay, you know, for all these things this month, you know, based on bad luck or what have you? Michael, a hurricane hitting me, what have you? Bottom line, I know that there are plenty of good veterans and patriots out there that are not getting what they need in these pay raises because of the way the bureaucrats have played the system, and it is always the patriots that get the cold, harsh end of the deal. And I am telling you that this has got to change as well. I mean, we have an obligation, believe it or not. It may not be in the Constitution, but there is a labor contract that when people join the military, such as when I joined the military, I was promised free medical care and free dental care for life if I retired. Well, where's my free dental and medical care? I have to pay out of pocket for it now. And even though, like I said, I've been blessed, I have a lot of brothers and sisters who have served as good patriots who aren't getting anything. And they're actually having to pay, and they're having to figure out, you know, how are they going to make their ends meet? And oh, by the way, I happened to lose a very good brother of mine from the Marine Corps who died of cancer this past week. And so, you know, these things have just really impassioned me to try to, you know, get this into your onto your radar and into your paradigm, because if we really do care, if you actually think about asking a veteran to stand up and thank them for their service, before you do that, you need to actually start saying, hey, are these guys getting the pay increases that they need to live a respectable or even just a decent life? Come on. Anyway, the last thing I want to state before I really get into, you know, finishing up my academic argument, going through those bullets, is that I'm just so privileged. I'm so thankful that I work with such good people of good character. I consider myself very rich with the associates, business friends, and friends that I have. And I'm really thankful to be able to come across people that are willing in the patriot, as I called them earlier, the evangelical patriot movement. I know that there are some really good people. I tried to allude to this earlier this week. And so I can't help but think about where I am today and how important it has been to be able to come across the very few, unfortunately, it's way too few, of those evangelical patriots, whatever you want to call them, these good people that are fighting the fight and the cause, that they have the objectivity and the openness to actually look outside their paradigms, look outside their box and go, wow, this is something that, you know, and actually, you know, even listen to and even accept. And I'm saying this because I actually got a phone call, and I'm going to let you know tomorrow. I got an email, then I had a phone call from this radio station in Arizona. They wanted to pick my radio show up, but the little hitch was, and I know that this has happened before, that what they wanted to do was get me to pay for my airtime. And they were, you know, so this was the owner that called me, and I've got to share this with you because this is how the evangelical patriot movement has gotten, because they're going after patriotic radio shows to try to get you to come on board and buy time so that you can expand your market or what have you. And so this guy just wanted to give me the sales pitch. And then I said, well, I want you to understand that you're talking to the guy that's probably got the most relevant radio show on the radio today. And I'm trying to explain to him why this is the most relevant radio show, because this is the only show that actually provides a solution, as I always say at the beginning of each show. Well, this guy wasn't going to hear any of it. So what he did was he hung up on me. And I'm going, okay, so obviously I've got your phone number. I've got your name. You really wanted to be that cold to, you know, to do that? If I was a vindictive person, I would just tell everybody, hey, here's his phone number. Everybody just call and call on a regular basis and demand that he put Reclaiming the Republic on the Phoenix airwaves. But anyway, I am so thankful that I'm actually working with folks like, and it started with Doug Gibbs. It had moved on to all sorts of people. And the last person that I've actually connected with is Keith Borders. But I can tell you that along the way, I've met with a lot of good patriots, and those who have really taken the time, those who have learned about Republic Review, have become my true advocates. And I am truly blessed with even the local support groups such as John Charleston and Cecily Wright with the Northwest Grassroots and so forth. So anyway, let me get you into bullet eight, because we, in going through the irrefutable argument for Republic Review and going through these bullets, I'm hoping to help instill with you, you know, that there is really no argument that can actually, you know, shut this down. There is no way anybody can logically or academically say Republic Review is unconstitutional. It is a process that can't work, won't work, shouldn't work. It's a violation. It's illegal or anything like that. And so as I go through this and as you listen to each of these, and so with bullet eight, this is the action bullet. And so this is where we actually take action. And so the action is eight, to ensure that this audit has the full force of the Republic, a simple majority, and I talked about this yesterday, 26 states must coalesce together with the authority as the stakeholders of the contract to rebuke the general government and use the force of the Constitution to gain compliance with the Constitution by the general government. Now, the sub-bullets are here. It is preferred that all states participate in Republic Review, and it is anticipated that over 30 states will join in Republic Review, if not all. Once a single state begins the call for an audit and educates fellow states of their duties and obligations, then this the Republic Review will start gaining momentum. And I would just tell you that you can go look at the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions of 1798. The second sub-bullet, Republic Review will require the general government to provide the necessary legislation to disband and dissolve all unconstitutional RRPs. I don't want to gloss over this. I want to repeat this because this is important, that the Republic Review process will require that Congress of the general government provide the necessary legislation. Why? Because Congress is the only authorized body to legislate. The president has to carry out, and the Supreme Court only intervenes or only gets involved when there is a dispute within those things of the Constitution. So the Supreme Court has no jurisdiction over all of these things. The Republic Review will basically say you have no jurisdiction over this matter, this matter, this matter, because they are not enumerated. Again, in the Constitution, Article 3, Section 2, it clearly states that the Supreme Court's jurisdiction is dependent upon the enumerated objects and ratified treaties. So as they start identifying all these things that are not enumerated within the Constitution, the Supreme Court has no base. They have no ability to inject themselves. And so Congress will need to actually create orders and or acts and or resolutions that will literally disband each of these unconstitutional governments. The problem is that the states then start to inherit each of these. Now, we kind of mentioned something like Social Security, and we can get into speculation, but I'm at a hard break. And so maybe this is a perfect time to keep you tuned in, so that you will want to hear what we have to say about things like Social Security. So I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I've talked about Social Security and some of these programs that may seem to directly affect a lot of really good people. And so what ends up happening, and Milton Friedman clearly had the answer. So with something like Social Security, what will have to happen is it will have to be capped. It'll have to be closed and capped. And what that means is that nobody will be paying into it anymore. And those people who have only paid a little bit into it will probably have no expectations from it because the harm that they've incurred hasn't been that great. But with the increase in compensation that they will receive directly, because how much of your money goes into Social Security? Well, I think 7.5%, so 15% of your salary that your employer pays goes into that and Medicare. And so if you start looking at what would happen if we capped it, and I think that what the states would have to do, and you know, I'm not the king. This is what the states would have to do, but they would need to apply. I would highly recommend they apply what Milton Friedman said, and that is actualizing what the debt is. In other words, this is what it's going to cost. 9 times out of 10, it will cost a lot less because not everybody will live to the expected life expectancy. A lot of people, more people, will probably die before that. Far less people go beyond the exceeded life expectancy. Usually, because, I mean, there are people that are living longer and life expectancy does grow, but I don't think with the way things are today and with the way the progressives are out to kill everybody with Obamacare and everything else, but all of those things will start to change. But with Social Security, it doesn't have to mean that you're not going to get it by killing and getting rid of Social Security. What happens is it gets actualized and it just gets moved over as a debt that the federal government, once the last person is paid, no longer manages any of that money because they did it unconstitutionally and they did it illegally. Bottom line, they did it illegally and they had no right to do and exercise a Ponzi scheme, or what, if you want to call it, a retirement program, because that is not enumerated in the Constitution. If you want to amend the Constitution to let the federal government do this, then I'm going to tell you that they will go back to doing shenanigans as they have done in the past, because they have raided the Social Security Fund several times in paying for their own little programs and things that benefit themselves and so forth. That's why they have, you know, and as a matter of fact, I remember reading in the ratification debates that everything that Congress is supposed to pass, they're supposed to, you know, be equally affected by that. But that never got into law. And I know some people have got that as an amendment. That might be a good amendment to add to this. But, you know, clearly amendments like that, the Balanced Budget Act and all of these other types of things are literally futile. They do not change and get government into compliance. That's why we're going through this bullet process, or you can find this on reclaimingtherepublic.org right there on the homepage. These bullets are right there for you to read and check for yourself. So anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. So the states must use all, this is a sub-bullet to bullet eight, the states must use all constitutional powers and force as necessary to obtain compliance. Bear in mind, it is detrimental to a politician's career to fail to comply to their constituents, the states and the citizens of these states, and fulfill their sacred oath. So in other words, if the politicians du jour of the day, you know, want to try to not abide by the states and the people of, you know, of these good states, these 26 states or what have you, then they put their own career in jeopardy. But one of the other things that they don't realize is they put their own, I think their own life in jeopardy, or, you know, their livelihood or what have you, because bottom line, when a state is dictating that you are violating their contract, so let's keep this in mind, the state is the stakeholder. The Constitution was written for and by the states, not the federal government. And so when the states are saying to their congressmen, whether that be a senator or representative, and they're telling them that they're not abiding by the Constitution, their contract, you've got to read Article 4 of the Constitution, because in Article 4, the states have the power and authority to charge a person with treason, and they can call that person to be extradited back to that state. So those congressmen risk being called and being charged and tried within the state for treason. And therefore, they really put themselves in peril if they do not comply. Especially, you know, it's one thing to be, you know, completely ignorant of violating the law. You know, let's say you never saw the speed signs posted because some kids knocked down all the speed signs. But come to find out, there is a prevailing speed in the state and you didn't know this. And the laws kind of state this, that, you know, every highway, the maximum speed is. And because that there are laws that do that. And so you just go 100 miles an hour down the road because some kid did you a favor in getting rid of all the speed signs one night and they haven't had the time to replace them. And you were just having to travel through this state and you decided to do it at 100 miles an hour because you haven't seen a speed sign. Well, so don't be surprised when the patrolman or the state highway patrol or whoever is running the state law enforcement on the highways, you know, pulls you over, puts you in handcuffs and takes you to jail. And you say, hey, I didn't see any speed signs. Well, that's okay. We have these laws that dictate that you cannot exceed this speed on our highways, what have you. And they go, well, I didn't know that. I'm not from this. Just remember, ignorance of the law is no excuse, right? I don't know if you've ever been taught that, but that was one of the things I learned from my dad, because they don't care. The law and the court system does not care if you're ignorant to the law. So, and that's the same thing with what's going on today. Even if you don't know, and even though nobody is holding you to the law, it is still the law. You still have to abide by it. And just because everybody has been getting away with shredding and dancing upon the Constitution and wiping their feet and doing all manner of bad things to our Constitution doesn't mean that we can't clean it up and restore and resurrect that Constitution as the supreme law of the land once again. And that's the whole point of reclaiming the Republic. And I'm going to presume that that's probably why you tune in. So let me move on. And I'm going to go into bullet nine. The process or methodology amongst the states asserting their powers is not, this is capitalized, is not applying to Congress to, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, to convene a convention to amend the Constitution. So, in other words, this process is not an Article 5 process requesting that the states are able to amend the Constitution. Republic review is clearly an assertion of the state's authority and rights and power over their constitution, over their contract, to enforce their contract. That is inherent within contract law. You don't even have to ask. You don't even have to ask nicely. You have the expectation of being able to hold the subcontractor or anybody exercising within your contract, you have the right to hold them to the contract. So the sub-bullet to this is applying it. Thus, the sub-bullet to applying as a constitutional convention, thus the states are asserting their authority as the principal stakeholders over their constitution. So I kind of jumped ahead and already told you that, but there you go. It's right there. It is, I think it's about as clear as anybody could possibly make it. And believe you me, I'm not one that makes things very clear when I write. It takes me a long time to cut away a lot of stuff. When I start writing a couple of ideas, it ends up into becoming a book. So anyway, I have a high tendency of verbosity when I write. Anyway, the process. This is actually sub. This is bullet 10. If a state has an active application for an Article 5 convention, it should rescind or withdraw its application to ensure it is not sending mixed signals and clearly asserting its constitutional authority over the contract. There are three sub-bullets to this. Consequently, the coalesced republic, while conducting republic review, will not possess the constitutional powers to amend the Constitution in any way. The second sub-bullet. This is simply exercising their authority individually and collectively to validate and demand compliance to their constitution or contract. And then the citations would be go look at the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, the Federalist Paper number 49 specifically, and or Jefferson's book, The State of Virginia, Notes on the State of Virginia, that's what it is, and it was published in 1784. And the final bullet, because I'm almost out of time, the final sub-bullet is, furthermore, this audit by the Republic for Republic Review does not require Congress to appoint a place or time to conduct the audit. The beautiful thing, and I don't mention this here, but the beautiful thing about Republic Review is the states are going to be able to do this literally from their state capitals. It's not a boondoggle, and they can do this all online. And as I've told people, there is real danger in trying to coalesce these delegates into a single physical location because it would be a disaster for Tim McVeigh or somebody like that to go blow them up. Anyway, with that, I am out of time. I will be back tomorrow and finish this. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously, we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.